Welcome. We're glad that you've chosen to join us this morning, and we're going to get into God's Word. Today is Pentecost Sunday, and so we're going to pause our series in John and spend time talking about the Holy Spirit appropriately so, and we'll share some details on that in just a moment. In your bulletin, there's a list of upcoming events and things happening in the life of the church. Encourage you to read through those, see what is there, and that applies to you. Pastor Les has already mentioned some of them. One item I would like to draw your attention to that's not in the bulletin that we've been talking about for the last few weeks is a proposed building project for those two modulars out there, replacing those with one different building. And I don't know if you noticed on your walking in or in the foyer, there's some pictures in the foyer, preliminary drawings of what that building could look like. And so if you'd like, on your way out, there is on a table there some big pictures of what that could look like. I encourage you to go and look at that. And then on June 9th, so in a few weeks, we're going to have a lunch that you, it's not a potluck, it's just a lunch that we'll provide. Actually, it's going to be a fundraising lunch as well for the people going to Uganda in a few months, or in a couple months. But June 9th, after church, there'll be a lunch that we'll provide, and then just a time of discussion in the fellowship hall about this project. So encourage you to come with questions, with thoughts, that you'd like, but just an open discussion time. We're not going to be voting on anything, but encourage you, spend time looking at those pictures, asking us questions, and then we will have a discussion on June 9th about where the Lord's leading you in regards to how we move forward with this, and that will be really helpful for us leaders, elders in the church, as we look ahead for God's direction in the life of the church. So have that spinning around your head, mark your calendars, plan to join us. That'll be really important for everybody here, whether you're a member or not a member, plan to come to that. And even if you don't have questions, just to listen in. So Pentecost Sunday is today. Let me just give you some background on Pentecost Sunday, and then we'll lead into our time this morning. Pentecost Sunday is a commemoration and celebration of the receiving of the Holy Spirit in the early church. Pentecost is significant both in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. Penta means, what does that prefix mean? Anybody? Five. Pentecost is actually a Greek name for a festival known in the Old Testament and in the Old Testament as the Feast of Weeks. And the Greek word means 50 and refers to 50 days that have elapsed since the celebration of the Passover. The Feast of Weeks celebrates the end of this grain harvest, and it's interesting, in Joel and in Acts, they speak about this coming of the Spirit that's going to fill people. Now, you might know this, in Acts 2, there's this event that happens where these little bits of fire, or tongues of fire as it's called, came and existed upon the heads of some of the apostles and followers of Jesus at the time. And after the coming of the Holy Spirit, the disciples didn't stay in the room and bask in the Holy Spirit and say, oh, this is so lovely, we like these feelings, but rather they burst into the world because that was the beginning of the church as we know it. And so the Pentecost Sunday, there's churches around this country and around the world that are speaking of the Holy Spirit this morning, and so we're joining with them as we do that. Evangelism with the Holy Spirit. We're going to lean our attention specifically into evangelism this morning. The big idea here is this. The Holy Spirit was given to you and I so that you and I could be a testimony or a witness for Jesus wherever we go. And so that big idea will kind of be with us as we go through our time this morning. So hold on to that. Maybe take a picture of it or write it down. That will be a guiding factor for us as we walk through God's Word this morning as we think about the Holy Spirit. Let's pray together. Jesus, we come before you as the one who not only came into this world as an expression of your love, but went to the cross as the ultimate expression of your love and died a death that we deserve and didn't stay dead, but rose again. And because of that, we know that you're alive and well today. You know exactly what we're going to talk through today. I pray that you would give me words today as I speak, that your Spirit would work inside of us and change us into be the people that you want us to be. We thank you that we are able to come and know that you are a God who loves and cares and saves. And I pray that as we spend time here in your word as well, that you would teach us more about you and transform us into your likeness. In Jesus' name, everyone said,
amen.
Amen. Amen. Have you ever been in a conversation with someone where you're talking about a lot of other things and you all know that there's this one other subject that you just won't talk about? It. We often call it the elephant in the room. And so you've all been there. And it's strange because you could talk about all sorts of other things, but it's this strange, awkward feeling because you know there's something else that's very important to both of you, but you just don't know how to approach the subject or talk about it, perhaps without there being conflict. And then sometimes there's a different side of things in the conversation where it's the only thing that you talk about. There's this one big thing that you both are very aware of, and it seems that you're stuck on this one subject. You would like to be able to talk about something else, but for some reason, this one thing keeps coming to the surface. Have you ever been in a situation like that? Isn't that annoying sometimes? You're like, I want to talk about something else, but for some reason, this other thing keeps coming into the conversation. Sometimes it's a controversial subject in the midst of family or relatives when they come and visit, whatever that might be. Maybe it's a political conversation. Whatever it is, it seems to always come back to this one other item. And you know there's more important things or other important things that can be discussed, but this one thing keeps coming up. It's interesting, in the life of churches and denominations in churches, the Holy Spirit is like one of those things. Where for some churches, we don't talk about the Holy Spirit, but we know that the Bible talks about the Holy Spirit, but we don't really know how to broach that subject because, well, other people do, and it gets weird and strange, and so we just don't talk about the Holy Spirit. And then there's the other side where it seems that's the only thing that's talked about. You know what I'm talking about? It's somehow, no matter what we're reading, it always comes back to the Holy Spirit, and sometimes it's even subjects around the Holy Spirit or aspects of the Holy Spirit that aren't particularly biblical, but if it's the only thing we talk about, we find ways to bring it into every conversation. Well, today I hope that we can find some balance and biblical guidance as we talk about the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm aware that everyone here has perhaps different experiences or backgrounds around the Holy Spirit, so I want to spend some time, just a few minutes really, looking at understanding the Holy Spirit. Now, you have your outline in front of you, and so I'll just fill those in as we walk through God's Word this morning. You could write in if you'd like, understanding the Holy Spirit. And this is so important for us, and we aren't going to spend all the time here just on this one point. We could spend weeks in many churches, and sermons can expound upon the work and the identity of the Holy Spirit. We're just going to focus on two aspects. One, the identity of, and two, the purpose. And so you could write those in if you like, unless you want to wait until we get to those areas. But just a few minutes on both of those. Firstly, his identity. One, we see and know when we talk about the Holy Spirit, we don't just say Spirit, we say holy, which means separate or special or different. Let's look at God's Word and see what God's Word has to say. Just a few different places. We won't unpack the Holy Spirit in great detail this morning, but this foundation is really important for us before we go on to the bulk of our time here, the focus. Look what it says in John 14:15. If you have your Bibles, you can flip back and forth. If you're really good tapping, you could do that. You could also follow along on the screen. It has the passages. John chapter 14, verses 15 through 17. Jesus speaking, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another," what? "Helper to be with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you." So we see a few things. One, we see that it's sent by the Father. We also know the Holy Spirit is the third member of the Trinity. There's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We see that he's been sent as a helper to us, that he's not only going to be with us, but also inside of us. It's not an it. The Holy Spirit, as described in the Bible, is a he, a divine person of the Trinity who has a mind, emotions, and a will. The Holy Spirit thinks, who knows. He can be grieved. He can be ignored. He can make decisions. The Holy Spirit is God. And the Trinity is a strange concept, is a hard, I should say, concept for us to understand. It's Trinity is three in one, and there's all sorts of ways we try to describe the identity of the Holy Spirit, and there's all sorts of different analogies and pictures. Some have said, like an apple, there's the seeds and there's the core or the meat portion of the apple and there's the skin. All of those together are an apple, but different parts of them make up different parts of it. And H2O or water, there's liquid, there's gas, and there's a solid, all of which are water, H2O, but they come in different forms. All of those, they aren't actually good, the best, I should say, representations of the Trinity, but they're ways that we can begin to kind of get an idea of what we're talking about here. We also know that the Holy Spirit is not grounded and locked in one place, but rather is everywhere. We say that God is, and He is omniscient. Psalm 139, 7 and 8 speak about how the Holy Spirit is everywhere. David speaking, he says, "Where shall I go from your spirit? Where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, that is, or the depths, you are there." That is, God is, the Holy Spirit is everywhere. This third person of the Godhead, the Trinity, is everywhere. So God the Father is in heaven, Jesus is at his right hand, and the Spirit of God is everywhere. And thus, God is everywhere. Now, there's so much more we could lean into that. We won't. It's just important for us to understand. As followers of Jesus, we now are able to not just know that the Spirit or the presence of God is out there, but also if we've received Jesus as our Lord and Savior, He is inside, He indwells us. Now, not just is He there to make us feel good or to give us emotional feelings when there's a good song going or something like that, as we often say, oh, the Spirit was there or something. The Holy Spirit has a purpose, and I want to just lean into for a few minutes here. What is the purpose of the Holy Spirit? You and I have the Spirit, if you are a Christian, as a guarantee of our salvation, as a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance, is what the Word says. John 14, we saw just a moment ago, says the Holy Spirit is a helper in verse 26, who will teach us and bring all things to our remembrance. In John 15, 26, he says again, he is the helper. Can someone say helper? The helper. The word helper of the Holy Spirit is one who comes alongside, is what it means in the original language. The Holy Spirit comes alongside and helps us. In Romans chapter 8, we see this in verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. Every believer who has the Holy Spirit has gifts to help us, to edify the church, to strengthen us, to teach us, encourage us, guide us, and comfort us. We know, you know, if you know, if you've been in church for any length of time, the fruit of the Spirit, right? They come along, the Spirit comes along and helps us display attributes that God would desire us to display, like love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness. We boil it all down. It's this. Maybe write this down somewhere. You have been given the Spirit of God to help you be a representative of Jesus on the earth. You have been given the Spirit of God to help you be a representative of Jesus on the earth. The Spirit then wants us to change, to be different today than who we are, to be different tomorrow than who we are today. Now, sometimes we think I have the Spirit and it's good and it'll help me in times of weakness. And this is true. Amen? We know this is true. But sometimes, myself included, can get caught up saying, I want to learn information, but the Spirit wasn't just given to us to help us know more things, but to help transform us into somebody different. It is God's desire that you and I be different 1 year from now in our relationship with Him than we are today. That is God's desire, and He has given you and I, the Holy Spirit, to help us change. You and I are a vessel made by God, and He's given us His Spirit to help us do things that we cannot do by ourselves. So with that kind of out of the way, let's lean right into the next portion. Now that we've kind of touched on the identity and the purpose of the Spirit, we're going to shift our focus to how the Holy Spirit works in regards to one of the most important, most impactful, most transformative activities that you and I can participate in. Now, what is that, you might ask? And I would say this, I think the Word of God is very clear about that, about this, and it's this: making disciples, and more pointedly, evangelism. That He has given us this work. He has set us out in this way. And if we were to shift our attention back to what the Word of God says, if you look in your Bibles and on the screen, Acts chapter 1, verse 8, look what it says. And maybe you've never caught this connection before, and I want to draw your attention to this connection. Look what it says in verse 8 of Acts 1. But you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be what? My witnesses. You will be my witnesses. Notice why he was sent. Not because the worship team invited him. Not because the lyric of the song said, Holy Spirit, come, fire, fall down, and all of the other things. Not because there was some sick person and they just needed some extra help, a little boost of energy or something, and the God was like, oh, here's the Holy Spirit. That's not why we see he was sent. According to Acts 1:8, the reason the Holy Spirit was sent in that time, the beginning of the church, was so that we could be witnesses to a world that is lost and in need of a Savior. That is why. Now, we can sidestep that and say, I like all of the other things that the Holy Spirit might give me. But if we look back at Scripture, the beginning of the Holy Spirit coming and indwelling God's people, it was for the purpose of being witnesses in the world. So what does that tell us? Why is that important to you and I? Because to separate the work of the Holy Spirit from evangelism is unbiblical and quite honestly prideful. For us to say that I am going to bring about conversion because of colored beads on my keychain like I have, or the Romans Road, or a powerful revival, and the list can go on and on. For me to separate the work of the Holy Spirit and in conversion from that activity is for me to say I can bring about someone else's conversion on my own. We see here from Scripture that it's the Holy Spirit that does that work inside of us. Conversion is only possible through the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit can use these other activities that I just mentioned, but he can also use a 5-year-old child with no props. It's the work of God inside of somebody's heart. The role of the Holy Spirit is vital to evangelism and cannot be overemphasized. We talked about that elephant in the room. For us to approach the concept of sharing the gospel with someone, even discipling someone and helping someone change to be more like Jesus, for us to sidestep and say, well, we know the Holy Spirit's a part of that, we're just not going to talk about it, is unbiblical according to God's word. He is key. This holds true today. For us to begin our work of ministry, even in working in the church, in being active in the church, going to your Sunday school classes or Bible study classes, and for us to think, I am here to learn, I want to get that new information, and then I just hope that I'm going to change. Really what it's like we're building a boat and trying to add on all sorts of neat things to a boat that's sitting in the middle of the ocean, and we hope that if we add new things to it, it's going to go somewhere. But really, it needs wind to make that sailboat move. No matter how many nice things we add to it or information that we add to ourselves, without the work of the Holy Spirit, we're not going to change to be more like him. So as we think through the work of the Holy Spirit, let's get into points 1 through 5 in your outline. How do we engage with other people alongside the Holy Spirit? The first is this. We need to pray and ask him to change our hearts. He will give us heart change if we approach him and ask him for it. I said earlier, the Holy Spirit wants to change you. Yes, he loves you where you are, and he loves you too much to leave you where you are. That is very, very true. One of the things that God wants to change inside of us, inside of you, and inside of me, is the things we're passionate about. He desires to align our passions with his passions. Sadly, there are times in our life that what we are passionate about are things that God is apathetic about. And the things that we're apathetic about is the things that God is passionate about. And it's the work of God that's going to change our passions. Psalm 46:10 says to stop rushing about, but rather to be still and to know that he is God. And when that happens, when we rest in letting him change our hearts, he will be exalted around us. He will be glorified around us. He will be lifted up around us. Paul, speaking in Romans chapter 10, he says that he wants people to be saved. His heart is, one of the greatest missionaries, his heart is for the lost. Romans chapter 10, verse 1 says, "Brothers, my heart's desire and prayer to God for them, that is the lost, is that they may be what? Saved." Sadly, friends, the longer we can stay in church routine, the more stale and apathetic we can get. And that's a sad, sad thing. You all and myself, we know the gospel, and it's my prayer for myself, and I hope it is for you as well, that we would want to have heart change. Something like what Paul was speaking about in Romans 9. Look at his passion. He says this, "that I have great sorrow and unceasing anguish in my heart, for I could wish that I myself were accursed and cut off from Christ for the sake of my brothers, my kinsmen according to the flesh," that is, the other Jews around him. I pray that we will have this kind of passion for God's people in Woodland, that as we drive about and interact, there would be this kind of desire inside of us. And this is not something you and I can manifest by ourselves. This is a daily prayer. Then God, change my heart to be like yours. Give me a heart for the lost like you have. And when we do that, he will give us opportunities. Amen? He will give us opportunities. That's the second point. When we pray like that, when you start your day like that, start your week like that, when you begin your time at work, God, open doors for me, he will give us opportunity. That's why the Holy Spirit was given to you, not to make you feel good and not to make you feel like you're close to God sometimes, but rather so that you could be a witness in the world that God has put you in. Now, Colossians chapter 4, verse 3, Paul says the same thing. At this time, I say, pray also for us that God may open a door for the word. Have you prayed that recently? Pray that. That you may open a door. That's why I'm doing what I'm doing. That's why I am where I am in life, is because you have placed me there. You have given me your spirit, and then you said, start acting. Start doing something. Start showing other people me. What if we started, and I'm going to do this. I have been even more so this week, I feel like. What if we started our day asking God to open the door for opportunity for us to engage people in conversations? It might not be, you know this, I know this, it might not be moments where they're saying, oh, I've been waiting all day for someone to share the gospel with me, I'm ready to accept Jesus. It may not be that, but it may be, I have been thinking about God and about church, and I just never really had answers and I didn't know where to go. Thanks for talking about that. Thanks for asking me if I'd be open to that kind of conversation. What if we reviewed our day, at the end of the day, you reviewed your day and said, was there an opportunity today for me to show other people Jesus? Maybe it's not an engagement of, you're lost, I'm saved, let me show you the gospel, but maybe there was an opportunity for me to display the work of the Holy Spirit that I didn't take up. If we look for opportunities, God will give them, amen? Now you know this, and I know this, that can be scary, right? Someone says, all right, I'm ready. You're like, oh, I wasn't ready for that. Now what? I'm kind of scared to actually engage. I see the opportunity, but I need boldness. And the Holy Spirit will give us boldness. Holy Spirit will give us boldness. We see this especially in the early church. It's Acts, or some say Acts of the Apostles, or Acts of the Holy Spirit in the lives of other people. Look what Peter says, what's spoken about Peter in Acts chapter 8, chapter 4, verse 8, that says, then Peter, who is filled with the Holy Spirit, said to not some random people on the street, but people who were religiously in charge at the time, the rulers and the elders at the time. He needed boldness to engage with those people. In Acts chapter 4, verse 29, so later on in that chapter, it says this, now, Lord, they're praying, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with all boldness. Verse 31, and when they had prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with what? Holy Spirit, and spoke the word of God boldly. This was a regular prayer of God's people, and that's so encouraging because it means they also had some fear around this too. They had to pray, say, God, I need boldness to engage. Because if I do, unlike for most of us, if I engage with somebody else, that might mean I'm going to jail. That might mean the Romans are like, oh, you know, that's it. You're a follower of the way. Send them to the lions. For most of us, if you talk about Jesus, you're not going to the lions. Somebody may side-eye, look at you at work or something, or a neighbor down the street going, oh, you're one of the, you know, something like that. But you're not going to the lions. They prayed for boldness. You and I need courage. Not just because we're scared of what they might say to us, but because you, in the conversations around salvation, are engaging in a mission to save somebody from hell. And Satan will stand in your way. Fear of sharing the gospel is a real thing. And I'm convinced that that might be one of the most effective tools of the devil today in the lives of Christians. Just stay afraid because they'll be okay. Imagine what they might say about you or say to you. We're saying, God, give me boldness to overcome this fear. I'm engaging in spiritual work that you want me to participate in, and you've given me the power to engage in. So we're engaging in a spiritual battle. Consider this picture when you're engaging, when you're thinking about engaging with the lost, when you have opportunity. This is a spiritual battle, not against flesh and blood. This is for their hearts, and God cares about this. Now, they're willing. Now, I don't know what I'm supposed to say to this person. That also is the question, right? And the Holy Spirit will give us words. He'll open the door. He'll work in their hearts. He'll give us opportunity, and then he will give you and I the right words to say. Jesus promised this. Jesus promised this. He says in Luke chapter 12, that when those opportunities come, when the time comes and you're before the rulers, before the synagogue, before the authorities, before the people who are attacking you for your faith, here's what he says, Luke chapter 12, verses 11 and 12. He says this, for the Holy Spirit will teach you in that hour what you ought to say. What you ought to say. In John 14, it's not on the screen, it says that he will bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. And this is not to say that we just go willy-nilly out and about having no plan or no agenda and know nothing about the word. Now, I have not walked with Jesus for some time, actually in person. Have any of you? No. But you have, and I have, the opportunity to know the word of God. And so we have the responsibility to study the word of God. And there's been times you've hopefully experienced this, and it's so encouraging when it happens. You experience times you interact with someone, and then you say something, and then you're like, that was not me. Have you ever been there? Is that a time that you're like, I never want to repeat that again? No, you're like, that's amazing. I love doing that. But you chose to engage in a conversation that was hard. You probably, hopefully said, God, give me wisdom because I don't know what to say right now. And then you said something and you're like, who was that? And the Holy Spirit, if you pause when you ask that question and listen in, the Holy Spirit was like, that was me. That's what will happen there, because the Holy Spirit, his own will, along with the promise of Jesus, says, I will make clear to people. And that was a prayer of Paul as well. Colossians chapter 4, it says, Paul saying, I want to make this clear. I want to be clear with how I speak to other people. For example, Peter has a monologue in the beginning of Acts where he's speaking to a bunch of people. And at the end of that, many people's hearts were gripped, it says. Now, you and I, if we gave that same monologue of Peter, and I won't read it all now because that'll take a long time. You could look at it, the beginning of Acts. He goes through literally the entire Old Testament story of the Jewish history up to Jesus and then tells them, and by the way, this Jesus, the Messiah who came to save you all, you killed him. And many of them were like, Now, many of their hearts were gripped. If you and I were to give that same monologue to, like, let's say the person three houses down over there, how do you think they would respond? I have no idea. Is that what they need to hear right now? They'd probably be like, I wasn't sure if God even existed. Here's the point. What you say to each person will change based on who that person is. So be willing to listen to what the Holy Spirit is telling you. Ask them questions. And the Holy Spirit will guide you. Effective evangelism is prayerful evangelism. The last point here before we close. After all of that, he's given us opportunity. He's indwelled us. He's going to give us words of wisdom as well. We also know that he's the one who's going to bring about either good conversation with this person, which, by the way, is a successful interaction with somebody. If you're able to engage somebody in a conversation around the Lord Jesus and his word, around truth, around morality, it may not be I'm ready to fall on my knees and trust Jesus right now. The conversation that you're able to have with someone can be a work of the Holy Spirit, and also conversion. That's also a work of the Holy Spirit. That's point five on your outline. He will bring conversation and or conversion with this person. If someone is, say, I'm not ready for that, they may just shove that back at you and say, no, I don't want to hear that. But for someone to say, I'm willing to have a discussion, an honest discussion about faith with you, about God with you, that's the Holy Spirit working in their hearts. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 says this, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who gives growth. It is God who does that. John chapter 16, verses 8 and following, it says this about the Holy Spirit, and he will convict the world concerning sin, righteousness, and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. And it goes on. Here's the point. It's the work of the Spirit inside of their heart that says, that leads them to say, I would like to ask you some more questions about that. I want to learn more about this God that you speak of. In Acts chapter 16, verse 14, Lydia, having an experience after hearing the gospel, it says this, the Lord opened her heart to the words of Paul. The Lord opened her heart there. I encourage you, before we close, spend time, maybe even a moment now, and ask God to reveal to you someone that you can start having a conversation of faith with. And pray that he will soften their hearts, that he will show them the significance of their sin, that he will show people their need for a Savior. How will he do that? It might be through your lips. Remember, you are a vessel of the Holy Spirit who desires to use you. Trust in Jesus as his Spirit will use you for the purpose that he has laid out. I want to encourage you to write three things down if you haven't already put away your bulletin, put away your pens and all of those three things. Three questions that I want to ask. And you can answer these questions however you see fit and how God works in your life. We've talked a lot about praying for people, by the way. In the foyer, there's these little cards that's on the back. It says that Woodland and Beyond would know, love, and serve Jesus. And on the front, it says, people I am praying for. I encourage you, grab a card, stick it in your wallet. It's just the size of your credit card or whatever. So you can regularly look at that card and say, these are the people that I'm praying that God will give me opportunity with and that God would work in their hearts. The first question is this. Will you commit for the next 7 days to ask Jesus to align your heart with his heart for the lost? Will you commit for the next 7 days to ask Jesus to align your heart with his heart for the lost? The second question, will you own your personal responsibility for being a vessel and a display of God's Spirit in your home, in your workplace, with your friends, and with your neighbors? Will you own your personal responsibility? I'm not pawning it off on the church to say the church's job is to do evangelism, which many of us, we would say, yeah, the church that needs to be an evangelistic church, they need to preach the gospel. And so often we can step back and say, but not me. That's not necessarily my personal job. That's for those people out there. Here's the second question. Will you own your personal responsibility for being a vessel of God's Spirit that lives inside of you? And he was given, said this at the beginning, right? He was given to you so that you would be a witness for him. Third question. And this is speaking about the change that the Spirit wants to do in you and I. If Jesus, this is not a yes or no question, if Jesus were to make one thing different about you this week, and he could choose what that would be, what do you think he would pick? If Jesus were to look at your life and say, this week, I want to make this different about you. He's already given you, by the power of the Spirit, to change it. He's given you the ability. If he were to look at you and say, that's what I want to change, what would Jesus pick? And this takes some time in prayer to know that. I encourage you to do just that. The big point at the beginning, the big idea, the Holy Spirit was given to you so that you could be a testimony for Jesus. Here's my closing line, and I'll pray. Listen in. This is so, so key for all of us. By the power of the Holy Spirit, everyone can reach someone. But together, we can reach Woodland and beyond. Jesus, we come before you because we know that you're a God who is worthy of our attention and our praise, of our adoration. There are those here today that do not have a personal relationship with you. I specifically am asking and thinking about them right now. I pray, Lord, that your Spirit would work in their hearts, that they would be sensitive and receptive to the work that you are doing right now. You say the power of your Spirit convicts of sin, points out clarity of judgment that is coming. I pray that your Spirit would do that this morning to those here or those listening somewhere else or later on, that your Spirit would work in their hearts and you would draw them to yourself. But I also ask that you would give us, your people here in this room, in other rooms, in other places, and listening later, you would give us a heart that is like your heart for the lost. You'd help us to be passionate about reaching people that don't know you, just as you are passionate about that same mission. Lord, that you would give us opportunities this week to connect with people that don't know you, that you give us boldness. And as we know, you are a faithful God that will give us words to say when we don't know what to say. And you will do this for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.